there, I'm Barbara Turley, and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV. Today, I'm joined on the show by a girl who has left corporate 4 years ago with zero experience in retail, and she's now doing million-dollar months in her business. Please welcome to the show, Jane Liu of Shopo.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're very welcome on the show. I've been trying to get you on the show for a little while, actually. I've been following you and all the stuff you've been doing.
We just wanted to wait to get the beautiful office first.
Yes, we're in these gorgeous offices. It looks amazing.
Thank you.
So, Jane, I mean, you're a superstar. I've seen you, you've been interviewed all over the place. You know, people are really following you now with the success that you've had. But on this show, I love to sort of go back to the beginnings, because mm-hmm. people always see successful people when they've had success. Mm-hmm. But right back in the beginning, you actually had chosen a corporate career for yourself and wanted to be in the multinational corporate world.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about that and sort of how that all started for you.
So, I've always been quite academic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as an only child, my parents kind of wanted me to... It's this Chinese immigrant mentality.
Chinese parents,
just really be successful in the corporate world. Their vision for me was upper middle management, and for them that was the bee's knees. So, ever since I was young, I've kind of somewhat been conditioned, and also I actually believe that I had an interest in commerce and finance. And, you know, I did do well in those subjects at school. So I was on that trajectory to just work in a multinational. And my dreams back then was to have this, work in a city skyscraper, wear a suit every day, and, you know, do the whole corporate thing, which I did. So because I was did quite well at school when I was 18, I actually started working at KPMG, which... was my dream, which
at 18. So did you go to uni, or did you just go straight in and?
I was at uni part time, and I was full time at KPMG. It was a cadetship program.
Oh, so you were the serious corporate career woman.
Really ambitious back then. So, and then once I started, I realized it wasn't. You know, I think it was great to have. That I started so early, because I realized quite early on that it wasn't really for me. You know, I love Friday night drinks in the city and, you know, the social side of it, but really just staring at those spreadsheets every day just really wasn't...
Boring?
It
wasn't lighting you up.
So when I was working, just before I actually left my job, I was working at Ernst & Young, and I spent all my time on Facebook.
Ernest and Young, if you're listening, you look at me now, you know, you started the career.
I just hated what I was doing. I loved, you know, social media. That's where I was killing my time, and, you know, never did I think I could actually make a career out of that.
And as I say, a multi-million dollar business. And that's why people are going to be really interested in this show. So tell me then, so you've got, you know, you've got this pressure to be this corporate world, you've decided that this is your, you know, path. When do you wake up and go, you know what? Because it takes a lot of guts to say, I'm going to leave. Like, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do? Did you have a plan? Or did you just wake up one day and say, that's it, I'm out of the corporate. I've got to find something to do.
I think it was somewhat this young, foolish, phase I was in. So I did have a business, my first business, with some other business partners that actually failed. And because the business partners I had were not working at the time, I felt this pressure to also leave my job. And I thought, you know, I should give it 100% to this other business. And within 1 month of actually quitting my job then, this business failed. At the time, I was devastated. I think it's still my personal rock bottom, that moment. But it was a blessing in disguise, because soon after that, a month later, I fell into this, because I couldn't, it was more pride. I couldn't, calling back
you
to
just
the corporate
had to.
World.
What was the other business? Because you had business partners. What was that business? Was it fashion as well?
Kind of. It was opening up emerging, pop-up stores. Wasn't the best idea. It wasn't scalable. We didn't really have a strong business model. Yeah. I think that's when we were just excited to have a business rather than focus on, you know, the actual core business itself.
The actual doing.
Whether the MVP works. So, you know, and I think it's great, because I've learned so many lessons from that, which has led to where I am today.
So what I love is I read about you obviously before the show. And was that during the period where you had actually given up your job and started these startups, but your parents didn't know and they thought you were still going to the city every day to work in the corporate job and
keep the sort of dream alive?
Yeah.
So I was living at my parents' because I just came back from overseas and I was broke, so I couldn't, you know, afford to move out.
Yeah.
And I couldn't possibly tell them that I've just, you know,
left the high paying job.
Yeah, because they were so happy for me. I was well ahead of, you know, where they thought I would be, and they were just so proud of everything I've done leading up to that moment to tell them I've given it up, given everything up. I mean, they pretty much immigrated to Australia for me.
Yeah.
I couldn't possibly just tell them I'm going to start selling clothes.
Just be like the greatest devastation for them.
And yeah, and to tell them I'm selling things online, because for them, you know, online, it still seemed like this internet bubble that, was in their mind. So I literally just had to put on my suit. So I used to go to work before them and come home after them. So I would have to put on my suit, carry around my empty laptop bag, and just, you know, just wander around the city.
And go to a cafe or something?
Or I had a part-time... I was working as a receptionist for a while just to make up some money.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just... pretty much wandered around just kind of figuring out what my business plan was.
That must have been a bit lonely at that time. I mean, how did you cope with that and keep going? Because that's, you know, you must start to question yourself and doubt what you're doing. And
Absolutely. I did have a... I actually had a business partner for the first year of Shopo.
Yeah.
And we were Shopoing back then.
Yeah.
So it was great that I had... her to turn to.
Yeah.
But, I felt this detachment from my previous... my corporate friends. So most of my friends were working in corporate, and it was hard for them to understand. Also, it was embarrassing for me to, have Friday night drinks with everyone and talk about how I've just sat on my couch all week. So or just wander the city and
I mean, it's hard enough starting a business without coping with all that emotional stuff as well, and the emotional roller coaster of that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So tell me as well. So obviously you didn't have a huge bank of money behind you to start this business, and again, I always like to talk to people and get into the nitty gritty of, like, in the beginning, you didn't have investors on board starting out. You didn't obviously have a huge bank of savings behind you.
Mm.
How did you cope in the beginning?
I mean,
you were living with your parents, obviously.
2 minute noodles. Eating leftovers,
Sneaking
wine bottles into bars.
You
just have to make do. So, I mean, when I started the business, I had like $10,000 of $15,000 of debt from quitting one of the jobs, quitting KPMG, because it was kind of like a cadetship scholarship program.
Oh, right, okay.
I had my HECS debt, which is 30 grand. I had personal debt from traveling.
Yeah.
So my only source of funding was credit cards. So I had to pull on that. But it was quite... I mean, back in the days, it was a lot easier. The e-commerce environment was actually a lot easier because there wasn't this level of competition. So, I built my own website just by Googling how to do HTML.
I mean, you had to, because you didn't have any money to do this.
And at the time, I think people had low expectations. So it looked all right. We made money from it. I think if you do it these days, it's
But how did
a
you,
lot harder.
So you put a site up, but the whole thing is the traffic, and how did you get people to the site then?
Social media.
Actually start selling.
Yeah. So that's where my, years of wasting time on Facebook paid off. So I managed to bring in like all my traffic through Facebook, and back then, without even having to advertise. So
Back then it was easier too.
Yeah,
because now
exactly.
It's really competitive on there. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, yeah. Because now the bigger companies have cottoned on. Anyone can open a store and start advertising on Facebook.
Yeah,
yeah. So I mean, back then, I think I bought stock on consignment.
Yeah, because I was going to say the stock thing. So there's obviously
the setting up
the business, right? So there's website and then Facebook to get stuff in. So all of that you did for free, kind of thing, because you did it yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're selling a product. So how did you cope with, like, again, were there times when the financial strain was almost too much to bear? And how did you get through that? That's really the key, I think, that people will want to know. How do you get through that? apart from 2 minute noodles and do what you gotta do.
Exactly. I mean, I remember once I couldn't afford to take a taxi home at 3 a.m. after a night out, so I just walked home. It's only a $15 taxi, but on my way home I had flyers, so I let it drop on my way back home.
Okay.
I thought this will pay for my taxi next time.
Yeah, right.
But it's all about the hustle. But I think I don't know. I think it's kind of foolish. To be fair, I think it's kind of foolish to think that, you know, you can just get through without any money. It's kind of like that artist, you know, struggling artist kind of dream. Yeah. For me, I actually started to generate income when I opened a pop-up store.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a kiosk in the center of Westfield. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I don't actually think markets necessarily do work. I mean, they do work for, you know, Sass and Bart and Samantha Wills and, you know, the odd few. But, and it is, you know, I tell most people it is actually a waste of time. But we managed to do really well because of this specific opportunity we had in the 100 square store. And once we did,
and it got some money in the door for you.
Yeah, and I think having that actual cash flow allowed me to actually pump up the advertising.
Yeah.
And it's great because by this point, you know, the website started being tweaked better. We had better photography. You know, I started to, you know, really learn the ins and outs of running a business. And once we had some money in the door just from the store, we really, like, I pumped up advertising, and that's when,
and put,
you know,
put all the money back into the business.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of people actually out there are starting businesses on a shoestring, which is fine, but they're focusing a lot on, like, the look and feel of the website, the branding, all this sort of stuff, that really you need to get the money in the door.
Exactly.
And fast, like, so that you can actually grow and, you know.
And waiting for, and a lot of people, I think, spend most of their money on the website and also on stock, whereas it's without the marketing, there's no point having that website because there's such a competitive and cluttered and saturated space, you know, on the e-commerce side of things. And you know, people try and get their website to be perfect, but that's only based on their views. So without testing it with your customers, like real customers,
or if you don't have any customers, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, you
get, and so they, and you know, your product mix, there's no way you're ever, we still don't have our product mix perfect, and so there's no way you really will know when you start unless you actually put your products out there to the market
and just do it.
Exactly.
And one of the things I loved about when I was reading about some of your philosophies, and I mean, I guess they've grown into philosophies now, I absolutely love the one about the business plan, because I'm actually, like, I'm in the wealth space and I'm in the financial industry and all that, and, you know, I really should be a fan of business plans, but I actually haven't done one myself either. I have a kind of a strategic vision plan and a year, you know, stages of the business that I would like to, you know, see come to life. But I'm not really a big believer in, I've got friends who've put huge business plans together and they've never done anything with it.
Exactly,
And or it changes too quickly.
And you don't, and then you get too constrained by the actual, by the business plan, because you don't want, and you actually use it more like a manual or a Bible, and, you know, you're working,
you might have to change or
you're
shift.
You're working for the business plan. You're trying to get everything to be according to the business plan rather than just adapting to the market, to demand, to where your customers actually want.
So I know it's just
so boring.
It's so boring. I know, it's so boring. And I think a lot of people get too caught up in stuff like that when really, like you say, it's about sales, marketing, and listening to your customer.
Yeah.
What do they actually want, and get out there and actually
do it. It feels like sometimes it just feels like a school assignment, you know. You're looking at your SWOT analysis and you're
exhausting.
Exactly.
So tell me, social media has been obviously one of the greatest things that has grown this business for you. Tell me, in today's sort of social media environment, where are you seeing, what would you give as, like, the top two or three tips that people in online businesses that you think work? Or what's been the secret of your success? How about that?
Well, okay, so I think it's really about having good content, not trying to sell to your customers. So I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They feel like they need to, you know, constantly blast their newsfeed with the products that they have. But you have to think from a customer or a follower perspective. They don't care about your brand until they
are ready to buy.
So, you know, it's really about building up that community. So once you build a community, then if you sell to them,
are they an easier sell?
Once
you have them in the community?
Yeah, because if you just blast your newsfeed with product posts, your followers will not, they're not going to share your page or your post with their network. And that's ultimately what you want to do. If you have good content, they'll naturally share that for you. And that's how you organically grow. So once you have a big following and you put up put out a product post, that's when you...
Then you get traction.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you have a much bigger audience.
Yeah.
And so I say to a lot of, you know, startups or people who are thinking about starting a business, don't wait until you have a product before you start...
building your tribe. Building,
exactly. Yeah. So that's what, you know, one of the questions I actually just received the other day was, how long can I, you know, just have a Instagram page for before I have a product? You can have it for as long as possible. No one cares about your product yet.
No,
no one knows about your product. No one's holding their breath until your product comes out. So just start building a community and, you know, start learning about what works or not. And and social media is so easy to understand what works and what doesn't because you just look at your engagement rate. Yeah. Exactly.
And the thing I loved about what you did as well is this whole selfie thing. I mean, you know, this whole let me take a selfie thing. I mean, you got that going really, really well. And what I love about what you did is you brought your tribe or your community or the people who follow you into the kind of fold, and people started taking selfies of themselves in your clothing line and posting them on your Facebook on the Showpo Facebook page, wasn't it?
Exactly.
On the Instagram page,
and so
you brought them into the whole engagement thing.
Exactly. And then so for other our other customers, because the photos they're taking feeds into the product of that they're wearing, our other customers can actually go onto the website, and once they're looking at the dress, this particular dress, they'll see girls all different sizes and shapes, styled differently.
Yeah, styled differently.
It's, you know, it's a great community vibe. It's it's a peer review system.
Yeah.
And it's not as boring as reading reviews.
And how do you start that, though? Because that's the whole holy grail of, like, how did you start that? As in, how, you know, how did you sort of get people to... Was it just by themselves they started doing that, or how did you do the... creation of this engagement, because you get like 90,000 people engaging on your page.
I mean, back in the days, I think back in the days we used to just, because we featured some people on our Facebook, in our spotted section, other girls, because they wanted to be spotted, you know, and we feature everyone. So, you know, it just started growing organically. Mm. Nowadays it's, you know, it's in our flyer because,
Yeah, that's really, really clever. Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me about things like PR. Did you use any PR in the beginning, or I mean, you didn't have money for PR in the beginning, or was it just, have you ever paid for any sort of PR?
We have tried PR. I really don't think it works for us because, you know, I think the way of social marketing has changed now into social media. Yeah. So, like Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you know, these are the areas that people are spending a lot of time rather than magazines. So,
yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, and the traction you can get online is massive if you can get it right, of course.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So compared to traditional PR methods where, you know, if your product is placed in a magazine, that's not measurable. So some companies...
Yeah, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
And you think you pay all this money for advertising there and you don't know whether you're going to get any results from that.
Exactly.
Can't measure it. Yeah.
So, I mean, and then whereas, like, if you send something to a blogger, they feature it, you know, like there's a certain amount of traffic they get, you give them a coupon code, there's, you know, you can see how much it's being used.
Yeah,
like it's just much easier to do it ourselves than working with PR. But traditionally, I think, you know, there's also like websites like Source Bottle where you can send your press release.
It
hasn't really worked for us, but, you know,
I've
heard it does for other people.
So tell me about, so the business today is, I mean, you're doing, the last two or three months, you've done $1 million months, right? And I know you get kind of, how does it feel when somebody says that to you? Is it uncomfortable still?
Yeah, it's
I can see it in your face. It's hard.
I was talking to someone else about their business and they had a $200,000 month, and I thought, that's incredible, $200,000.
Yeah.
And they're like, but you did more. And I didn't even realize until, like, it hasn't sunk in yet.
It hasn't registered for you. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, what comes with that, and I know we were talking off air, what comes with that is then everybody wanting to interview you, everybody wants to know who Jane Lou is, and how you did it, just like what we're doing here. How are you finding that from a personal perspective, like emotionally, and how do you find that?
It's flattering, but... I'm a nervous, like, I love talking in general, like, to friends and, you know, but I'm a nervous speaker.
I don't like, I mean, people have said, oh, you're really good at speaking, and I think, but I don't feel, it is uncomfortable.
Mm.
It's uncomfortable doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's putting yourself and your own name out there and your brand and all that, and all of a sudden everybody knows who you are. And that actually brings with it its own challenges.
Like, I'm not going to watch this video probably for a few months.
Oh, really?
And then I'll get a bottle of wine and then I'll watch it. So that's what I've done previously.
Yeah.
And it's, I cringe too much. And I think I wait until the point where I feel like it's too late to have done anything to change it.
Oh, right,
and then
okay,
I'm okay to watch it.
But then if you had had someone like you, when you started out, if there had been a video like this, how beneficial do you think it would have been for you?
Oh, absolutely. I think it would have been, you know, it would be more motivating to see, you know, someone my age who has had like a failed business, who doesn't have experience, who has done it, you know, who can admit like it's not easy, and I don't always know what I'm doing.
Mm.
Well, most of the time I'm not sure what I'm doing, but
you just feel your way around.
And you know, once you build a robust business, you can afford to make mistakes as long as you learn from them. And you have a strong team, you know.
Well, the team is the other thing. I mean, how quickly did you bring on staff?
Oh, probably
too late.
Too long. Yeah.
You waited too long. Everyone waits too long. Yeah.
So, 2.5 years ago, I was still in my parents' garage. And only because I wanted to go on holidays, I went to Miami for a music festival with friends. Mm. I actually hired my first person. And then from there, very, very, very slowly started taking on staff to the point where, you know, in terms of the girls in the office, there's eight of us now, but only a month ago, there were only six of us,
which
surprises
really
everyone.
Yeah, you're growing so quickly. I mean, it really surprises me that you only took staff on 2.5 years ago, because it feels like this business has been, I mean, obviously now the way it looks beautiful, you know.
And thank you.
You know, it hasn't been like that all the time, I know.
I think it's hard for anyone to let go of control and to start paying for, because like, you know, when you start, you're so poor, every dollar counts, to start paying for someone
you could do it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And
but did your revenue explode after you hired somebody?
It started exploding once I started spending more on marketing.
Okay, so you just kept pushing money back into
the marketing. Definitely once I started hiring people, I was able to focus more on business development.
Yeah.
And
marketing,
doing more
ideas
marketing
and strategies. And
the first thing you need to do is have good systems and controls and processes.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're so busy doing everything, so I was, you know, doing the buying.
Yeah.
Doing the buying, like, stock taking the clothes when I had time, doing the photo shoot, steaming it, uploading to the website, uploading to Facebook, processing the orders, taking all the orders to the post office, dealing with customer service, just a bunch of things. And someone tells you, you know, you really need to put in strong systems and write up some manuals to grow.
Yeah, and you think, where am I going to find time to do that?
The last thing you want to do. So it's just something you have to force yourself.
You have to do that. And tell me, so mentorship. I know that I've seen you as part of the Entourage and you were part of that sort of group for a while. What do you think of what you got out of groups like that and, you know, the mentorship idea? Did you feel that really pivoted things for you?
I've never actually had a mentor.
Yeah.
I do like having that peer community.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm part of a group called EO, Entrepreneurs Organization.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we have a round table where we talk about, you know, important issues that we're having in our business. And, you know, it helps you deal with not just the business side of things, but also the emotional side, which...
Because it is a roller coaster.
Yeah, which people don't talk about. It's hard to, you know...
Well, especially when you're successful, right? Because people would look at you and go, oh, look at her, she's doing $1 million a month. Or what possibly problem could she possibly have?
Yeah.
But, you know, you're saying, so what are the kind of challenges that you face personally? Is it still just pushing really hard or finding time for yourself? And, you know, what are the major challenges you feel?
Managing
your personal life.
That's okay.
That's done.
I think, you know, I think at some point you still... I forget sometimes that I have to, you know, be the team leader.
You've got to lead a team.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard.
You're at the helm. You're like the one everyone's looking to for the vision.
Yeah, and it's, you know, you do, when you doubt yourself, it's kind of, that's when you had your hard days. And, you know, I think it's important to not get anxious about the little things. Because it is a roller coaster, and I think having a long-term perspective, you know, really, really helps.
Do you feel, actually, just on that, like you're saying, the hard days, like the days that you doubt yourself. Mm. So you, do you still have days where you doubt yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
That's really important for us to know. So that, like, even you have days that you doubt yourself. Mm. Yeah. And look how well you've been doing.
Oh, thank you. You know? It's like this episode in The Simpsons, I don't know if that's the best analogy, where Homer is trying to invent things, like Edison. And when he finally finds Edison's house, he realizes what... Edison has been inspired. He's been trying to be like Einstein, and he doesn't feel like he's accomplished anything. So, as you, the more you grow, the more your vision expands. So it's just you're never satisfied, and that's human nature. So
you're looking at the next levels up of like Naomi Simpson of Red Balloon and all these people who you know, are like mega.
Yeah. So I think ultimately the trick is to work hard, to have a great team, and then when you're having a bad day, just turn to some wine and not. Like, because I think sometimes you just need something to help you get over that moment. It's not like the end of the world.
Do you just accept that? I mean, I think it's really good, particularly for us women, to realize that we all have those days.
Yeah,
and that is, you're not alone. That is just a part of it. And on those days, you have to just go, you know what? Today's one of those days.
Exactly.
Today's that day.
Exactly.
And push through it in that way.
Yeah, because I think, one of my issues is if I'm having a bad day, it comes out. Like, it really comes out. And I don't want that to,
Well, it's the team, then you've got to leave the
exactly.
team.
Exactly, yeah.
That's hard, yeah. So, but that's the challenge of growing to the next level.
Exactly.
So, tell me, as a savvy femtrepreneur, as I've been telling all of my guests on the show, what does the future hold for Jane Lou? What's the big vision for you?
Well, for global domination.
Oh, really? Yeah, excellent. I love that. Real power.
One step at a time. Yeah. But, I think it's just to keep doing what we're doing, because I'm having a lot of fun. Our team, whole team, we have a lot of fun. Mm. And, just to really build up this brand and, into a global brand. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I have a virtual assistant who's in the Philippines, and I was telling her I was coming to interview you today, and she loves fashion.
Oh, really?
So I was showing her your site and everything, and she's like, oh, that's so cool. So she loves what you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm sure the brand will grow massively all around the world. So if people want to follow you and they want to know more about Shopo, where should they go?
So the website is shopo.com, S-H-O-W-P-O.
Yeah, it'll be here right now.
And our Instagram is I Love Shopo.
I Love Shopo.
Facebook is /ILoveShopo. And if you want to follow my personal Instagram, it's The Lazy CEO. And by lazy, I don't mean like sleeping on this couch lazy, but efficient. Achieving more by doing less.
Oh, we'll definitely be following you for some great tips. Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on the show. I was really excited to get you on because, as I say, I've been following you for a while, and just your success has been very inspiring. Very, very inspiring. So thank you everyone for watching again for another week. And remember, you can catch me later this week on my podcast, Wealth Unplugged, where I'll be giving you my key tips that I've picked up from Jane today. Until next week, see you then.